Today's date is October 4th, first Sabbath Eve, or Friday night of October in 2024. And we're on page 208 of Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, second paragraph on the page, and this is what it says. It says, blessed are the merciful. Oh, and by the way, of course, we're looking at Beatitudes here when he starts talking like this. Because I think we were, he's talking about the Beatitudes. He says, this is Jesus talking here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about that. Many of us, myself included, have seen things in our past that we weren't quite merciful about. But at the same time, I praise his name that some of us, myself included, were very merciful in many occasions as well, because he teaches us as we go along, and now we are where we are. But it's like the old saying goes, you know, what goes around comes around kind of a thing. If you're merciful, others will be merciful to you. And but she goes on, she now starts talking and says, here Jesus struck a blow at the arrogance and cruel intolerance of the Jews. Both priests and people were, as a rule, overbearing, quarreling with all who opposed them, and severely critical and resentful of any reflection cast upon their own acts. And that's just the norm today, too. I mean, especially when the loud cry swells even louder and the rain comes upon us. Sister White even talks about, and I think it's in SOP 4, where the Seventh-day Adventist leaders, and they're already doing it. They've already slandered us, you know, personally. They've mocked the name of our church in an article. They've declared, the one article, it was like, Seventh-day Remnant? I don't think so. That was the title. And then, of course, they mocked me by name in Adventist Today. I think it was Adventist Today. But did you see Adventist Today? I put it on the site. Here, let me show you something here just to give you an idea how blind they now are. Let me go here. Let me go to the blog. I'll have to click on it here. And I got a SOP or SDA area. I don't know why it says this, where you got to continue. You don't have to. Well, you got to click it to get it out of there. But you can continue reading even without signing up. I don't know why that's there. It's the way they worded it. It's a little pop-up thing. Here it is. It's bad enough. I mean, Loma Linda is pushing unity with the Pope. But then again, that's a no-brainer. It was in SOP 4. And then Adventist Today denies God's law in... Oh, I forgot to put the word in, or I probably didn't. I erased it by mistake because I had to shorten the titles to make room. So, but here it is. I'll bring you there. It says, why I'm not worried about Sunday laws, but I'm very worried about religious liberty. And some guy named Lawrence Siebold, that name looks familiar. But it was something he said down in here. Our Sabbaths are safe. He goes, this is what got me. He says, there aren't many Jews in the world, and many of them aren't religious, but they have an outsized influence. They're not going to let any government tell them that they can't worship on Saturday. And he wrote this, a couple of months ago? What happened in 2015? And then what happened in 2017? It's like they don't even read their Bibles, and they don't even look at the prophecies. This is how blind the SDAs are. In 2015, they passed a law in Israel to keep Sunday holy. And then 2017, because the Pope now knew he got him by the jugular vein, they passed a law in Tel Aviv making it legal to break the Bible, the biblical Sabbath. And lo and behold, a few years later, what happens? October 7th. You know, they stepped away from God completely. No protection whatsoever. They haven't had protection in 2,000 years. But the thing is, it's like the SDAs are literally Roman Catholic or something they are doctrinally speaking. And the reason I mention this is because of how they're resentful towards us when we show their blindness, their leaders, the blindness of their leaders, and the way they hated Christ back then, they're going to hate us. And they've already started. And it's going to get a lot worse in the coming days. But that should bring peace in your hearts, knowing that your Father and my Father, our Father, which art in heaven, and yes, hallowed be his name, he's still in control. They still can't change Christian prophecy, no matter how hard they try. They can edit all of Sister White's writings. They can take thousands of verses out of the Bible, and they still can't change what's going to happen to them. Nor can they change what is going to happen for us by the hand of our Lord. She said here that Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God." She says that the Savior desired to teach his followers a lesson of mercy, that they should not be wanting in that tender compassion which pities and aids the suffering and erring, and avoids magnifying the faults of others. Now some will say, hey, wait a second, Nicholas, you just magnified the faults of the SDA leaders. Ephesians 5:11. That's my duty. That's your duty. We're talking about the pastors here. But your brothers and sisters in the pew next to you? No, you don't do that. Even with the Matthew 18 thing. You know, because we have done the Matthew 18 thing. We have done the 1 Timothy 5 thing. With the 1 Timothy 5 thing, yeah, you proclaim it publicly. Let everyone know what happened so as to prevent people from being hornswoggled by false prophets, as Jesus called them in Matthew 24:11. And I'm talking about pastors that used to be, or leaders in the Seventh-day Remnant movement that, you know, were taken by Satan and they became wicked and evil. And so you have to out them to warn the others. Permanently out them, publicly out them. Those pages aren't coming down on my site. But when it comes to Matthew 18, we just out them in the church itself. Let the brethren know. Because they're no threat. They're never ordained. They haven't any ability to stand as ordained leaders. And if they claim to be pastors or elders, yeah, that's self-ordination. They're self-sent. Yeah, they're not going to be a threat. And so, but you still keep it hush-hush, even if they become leaders. You know, you don't have to bring up what happened with the Matthew 18 thing. You just keep it in the church family. It's a family issue. It's a family affair, if you would. But it's just so sad the way it can be twisted around in this way. Like as even Jesus declared, the Pharisees hypocrites. They'll ignore that part when they declare that we're doing the same by outing them. They don't know about Ephesians 5:11. They don't know about 1 Timothy 5:19 to 21, or even Matthew 18 verses 15 to 17, among other many other verses. They only got to go by with what they can use to lift up themselves. Yeah, amen. That's what Sister Sue. Yeah, well, Dwayne put in the location of the Bible verse, and Sister Sue put in the verse. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Yeah, amen. They want itchy ears. They want to hear smooth things. They want to hear they want to have prophecies, deceitful prophecies preached to them. That's what Isaiah said they would do. Exact same thing. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. And even in the SDA church, they've got false prophecies, false doctrines, and smooth things. There's no Sunday laws in the pipeline. They keep saying that. Ted Wilson hasn't recanted that or reworded it. It's still out there. And now their Sabbaths are safe. Oh, and they're probably going to jump on this just like, like the others did. I just put this new blog entry up. One of the brothers in the faith came across some stuff and sent it to me. And it was pretty intensive research that he did. So I decided to dig a little deeper. I don't know why the pic ain't showing up. Because I did burn that in on the server. Let me try hitting a refresh. Oh, there it goes. But Sunday is now the seventh day in most countries already. There's only 195 countries on the planet. 172 of them have calendars that say Monday's the first day of the week. That means Sunday's the seventh day. Why do you suppose he would do that? Oh, I got this little video that's only a minute long. Where did I put it? It's right here. Click that little video about 2025, you know, the project. They're going to try their best to try to make our job much worse and harder. But it'll be easier now that I think about it when I come to talk to people that do study the Bible. It'll make it that much easier just to prove our point. The rest of the people that don't study scriptures, they're not going to be able to understand. They're going to think Sundays all of a sudden suddenly become the seventh day of the week because the government says so. And then when we say you've got to keep the seventh day holy, they go, okay, yeah, we do on Sunday every week. This is all against us, brothers and sisters. But yeah, click any of these. Here's Myanmar. It'll bring you Monday, first day of the week. Sunday, seventh day. Okay, let's try one more just for giggles. Tonga. Monday, first day of the week. There's only 23 nations left that have to bow to Rome on this one. And you know they're gone. Because Christian prophecy can't be changed. And this is the devil's clever little way to get around it, to try to make things that much more difficult for us. You know. But hopefully, those that want to know the truth, this is the reason I wrote this. Okay, it's the wrong one. I didn't want to click that link. This one that swells up right there. That'll, you know, this track I wrote, I don't know, a few months ago, explains why Satan's doing what he's doing. I just more or less in here, I describe what the mark of the beast is and what the seal of God is. But still, with the way things are going, they're going to try to make our duty difficult. And that's okay. Because we know the people that have eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to get it. The rest, they're not going to get it regardless. We shouldn't let it bother us. Hence the reason the Lord didn't, he told David, don't be numbering Israel. And then he kind of showed him in a blunt manner, he shouldn't be numbering Israel. We don't have to deal with the numbers. He knows who's going to make it, and he knows who ain't. We just got to do what it says in Titus 3, you know, 9 and 10. Give him one or two admonitions, and that's it. Go to the next person. Don't waste your time all on one person. Now, yeah, family's different. You do what you can. But yeah. Anyway, moving on in the Beatitudes, the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it says, hold on. Oh, no, USA should be on that list. Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I'll show you why. Let me, because some may wonder, because I know. Let's see, let me go down to the, let me go back to the page that I have it. Okay, it's down here somewhere, USA, right? USA, okay. Oh, hold on a second here. I don't know why it's like that. The one I had earlier, it showed Monday. Let me see if it's in 2025 differently. No, it ain't. You're right, then. I should take that one off. But this makes me, like, let me just figure out if there's, like, other nations. I think it was Aruba. Any other nation, because they'll say, no, that one says Monday as well. Some people will say, oh, it's just this site and, you know, the time of day thing and all that and how. Well, if that's the case, then why are there still some in this list? If you go through this entire list here that they have, and yeah, it took me 4 hours to link every one of these out. 4 hours to link each one out and put it on that page. And so, let's see, Syria. Yep, there it is. Syria is Sunday. And so they can't say that it's not, you know, accurate. When in fact, it also shows the ones that aren't doing it. But my other point on this was what actually is happening in the USA. Look at all these right here. I remember this back in 1998, but I didn't put it on the internet until later when the internet came. Because I was doing some work and I found out that the calendar software that's built into Windows 98 was pushing up. Like in Australia, it was showing Monday as the first day of the week. And for those that don't believe me, there it is. Monday is the first day of the week. And that was I put it in as October of 2000. And this was in Windows 98. So they already had plans back then. It was 24 years ago. But 24 years exactly. Today, yeah, it's October now. But there's another one in here. Home Depot. This is in the USA. Click their calendar. Let me show you. Click their calendar. Monday, first day of the week. All the big, and this is where I'm now next researching in. When you go to this page, if you can help me in any way, you know, if your work, if you actually have a picture or like a screenshot of your company's calendar, just send it to me. And they're all in here. All these like Google calendars. That's Monday is the first day of the week. And sometimes you gotta send it. Here it is. You gotta go there and you'll see it. Monday, first day of the week. And so they have to start it in the corporations in the U.S. first, and then they'll go across. But you can buy calendars in the United States that have Monday as the first day of the week. Why it wasn't on that list, and that I thought I already had it on that list. So, but maybe I was mistaking because I had the corporations on it. So. Okay. Yeah. So I'll take that off when I get a chance. That I thought I had it on there. Maybe I clicked the wrong button and I thought it said Sunday or Monday, and I thought that was it. So, yeah, U.S. Virgin Islands. And that's us, right? Let me go there. Which one is it? Yeah, here it is. U.S. Virgin Islands. That's our territory. Monday, first day of the week. So, oops. So, yeah, as soon as I get around to it. Thanks. I think what it is I got mixed up with the Fortune 500 companies in the U.S. are pushing for Monday because they got to do it there first, obviously, and get the Americans used to it. So now that you go to work and it's always Monday, and then boom, the whole nation will be like that. So, all right, let me get back to here. So, okay, thank you, Sister Letitia. That statement I made in regards to the smooth things. It's Isaiah 30, verse 10. It says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto his right things, speak unto his smooth things, prophesy deceits. That's exactly what's happening today. It started happening, you know, quite a while ago, obviously, but it's obvious in today's world. And then when you see all these false or fake revivals, people are falling for hook, line, and sinker. So you got all these people that think they're Christians that got baptized at these 3 or 4 or 5,000 baptismal things. And they're getting baptized in mini skirts and tight jeans and low-cut blouses and jewelry and makeup. And on Sunday, you know, their Sabbath is Sunday. So you're kidding me. I did not know that. I'm going to have to make note of that. Sebald, Brother Gilbert put it in. The guy that wrote the article that I spoke about, you know, the Sunday law, is it about to start? That man, Lawrence Sebald, is the same individual who wrote Letting Roman Catholics Off the Hook in Adventist Today. And I made a video about that, you know, I think. I don't know if I named it that, but... Let me just go to the bottom, click the black YouTube because they're so mean to me. Okay. I think it's in the playlist. I think Roman Catholics in the SDA section, SDA corrupted SDA here. I'll just put in the word hook. I'm pretty sure the word hook was in the video. I got 750-some videos, and I did. Here it is. SDA Church defends Antichrist, right? Was that the one? Yeah, that's the one. And so a few SDAs watched it. Let's see. Oh, 108,000 watched it. So a little more than a few. So I guess, but I wonder if I could do that on here. Oh, no, I don't have the password in here. I can show you. I can go to like this video or the other video that shows them bowing to the Pope. You know, active worship video. Yeah, it shows, I don't know how many hits it shows on. Let me just see if I can see it, because I don't think. Yeah, the active worship, it shows 260,000 views, right? But that's a lie. I don't think I can edit. Yeah, because I don't have. Yeah, I don't have the password into this browser. It's over 650,000, but they're not letting the people see it. They're not letting see the numbers go up. They've kept it at 260,000 for I don't know how many years, and they do that. It's what they call like a soft censor, or what is that other word that they used to use? I don't know. Who cares? Let them play their games. Anyway, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. She says, the Jews were so exacting in regard to ceremonial purity that their regulations were extremely burdensome. Their minds were so occupied with rules and restrictions and the fear of outward defilement that they lost sight of the necessity for purity of motive and nobility of action. They did not perceive the stain that selfishness, injustice, and malice leave upon the soul. And just like little children watching parents do bad things, the babes in Christ or the young in the truth, or not Christ because these are Jews, they don't believe in Christ, but the let's say the young in the faith look at their leaders and follow their lead. Oh, shadow banned. Thanks, Jesse. That's the word I was looking for. So, but she goes on to say that Jesus declared that the pure in heart should see God. They would recognize him in the person of his son. Because so many people like to say the Bible contradicts itself and say, because the Bible says we'll never be able to see the Father. Which we can't. But we'll see the Son. We'll see, it's just like what he told, you know, one of the apostles that said, show us the Lord, show us the Father. And he says, have I been with you so long that you have not seen the Father? You know, he's the express image of the Father. And so that should suffice, you know, especially when we're in heaven and we realize the truth is the foundation of that city. And so again, they would recognize him in the person of his son who was sent to the world for the salvation of the human race. Their minds being cleansed and occupied with pure thoughts would more clearly discover the Creator in the works of his mighty hand, in the things of beauty and magnificence, which comprise the universe. Be gone, Satan. And he tries to mess with words. Have you noticed that happens to a lot of us where we'll be reading something and we'll, like instead of, like the word not, it disappears. And so now it looks like you can do something where the Bible says you shouldn't. You know, you're reading something and it comes out like if you're sharing it with somebody and the word not disappears or something, because Satan tries to confuse you for a moment because he's always throwing his digs in any way he can. So be on top of it. I even saw Vern Bates have that happen to him a few times on camera. He goes, excuse me. And then he goes on from there, because it happens. The enemy just keeps on messing around. So not that I'm trying to puff up Vern Bates or nothing like that. The guy's taking his sleep. He's taking his rest right now. So he was just he was a good man. He was a godly man. Blessed. So anyway, it goes on. It says, they would live as in the visible presence of the Almighty in a world of his creation during the time that he apportions them here. They would also see God in the future immortal state, as did Adam when he walked and talked with God in Eden. Even now, the pure in heart see God through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, notice this. This is what gets me with the people that declare Jesus Christ isn't God, or he doesn't even exist. You know, some of them go that far, but usually they say he isn't God. She just called him God three or four times, because we know Jesus Christ walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden, right? And, we also know what it says in Hebrews, that the God the Father calls himself a God in the same sentence. He calls himself a God, and he calls himself his son a God in the same sentence. So, but again, the sophistry or the sophist mind is such that they're gonna stand firm in their own theology, because they think it makes them look intelligent. And for the most part, people that just don't see what we see, that don't study scriptures, to them, they would come off as intelligent. I mean, look at how many people fell for the L. Ron Hubbard thing, you know, with the clear theology, where you got to become a clear to make it into a higher realm of life or something. I don't even think he called it heaven. It's kind of like the higher power in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? Couldn't believe that. Yeah, because I remember this one woman who came out of that saying, you know, if I declare this ashtray to be my God and it helps me in any way that I assume it helps me, then that's okay. And I told her point blank, no, it's not. That's just silly talk. I mean, why don't you just go worship Dagon if that's the case? I mean, it's same thing. It's just a pile of stone all glued together to form, to make some kind of a shape. In your case, it's an ashtray, but in their case, it was some fish-headed god. Well, little G guy, little false god. So, anyway, she goes on here, and quoting again from our Lord, Savior, and King, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Literally, in that family, we are. And she says, our Heavenly Father is a God of peace. When He created man, He placed him in an abode of peace and security. All was unity and happiness in the Garden of Eden. Now think of that for a moment here too, in that little season that it's kind of hard to lock down, but I'm assuming in my own little gray matter that that little season at the end of the 1,000 years can be anywhere from, say, 20 to 40 years. It's not going to be, you know, a couple of months like a season that we call a season down here, because one of the prophetic doctrinal definitions of the word season in a prophetic sense is a short lifetime. Not a complete lifetime, but a short lifetime. And that's where I come up with the word 40, or number 40. But we're in the city. And by this time, we're 1,000 years into studying. Perfect peace. Just like we're going to have perfect peace during the plagues of Revelation. And even though we're drinking the cup in plague 6 at the end, you know, the last 15 days, and we're drinking that cup, it's intense, yeah. But we still have perfect peace in mind, knowing that, yeah. I mean, just remember, like, if you're in that number, because it'll get intense, you know, whoever Satan puts around you to try to tempt you off the path or whatever like that, because he doesn't realize that our cases have already been decided. That's what Sister White literally said in one of the books. And he's going to try everything he can to try to, you know, veer us off the path. We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with the Lord coming in, and we're feeling in our hearts, like many of us do when we get up in the morning, and you feel like you're the scum of the earth, because the enemy likes to kick you when you're down. And so when you first wake up, you feel weak. But after a few moments, you shake all them cobwebs out and tell them to get out your face, you know, be gone, Satan, kind of a thing. Or just, I choose Jesus. You know, I like doing that too. Just say, I choose Jesus. And then he skedaddles. And we're going to be inside that city. And they're going to be surrounding it, making all these weapons of war, because it does say in the prophecy that they'll be making weapons of war. And you ain't going to do that in a couple of days. So we're going to have, you know, they're going to be surrounding us for a while. And, but when, like, it wouldn't Nebuchadnezzar surround the cities, in, you know, or any of the kings of old, when they would surround the city, they just wouldn't do it for a week or two. You know, they'd have to do it long enough to where the supplies in the city are gone, where they started having to eat their kids like the Jews did and stuff, you know. And they would even redirect rivers that would flow through the city, because that's a source of water. So you redirect the river. They don't even have water to drink, but they have their reserves, but that dries up too. So eventually the people have to leave, and when they leave, that's it. You know, it gets all bloody then. But we won't have to be concerned with any of that. They'll just be living life like normal that we have been doing 1,000 years, and they're out there, you know, making all these weird noises, building weapons and stuff like that, and super-duper weapons, too, because you got some of those people in that crowd are going to be 16 feet tall, because we know how tall they were on Adam's day. And if you don't believe that, if you're new to the truth, let me show you something here on my Creation as Evidence page, or Evidence in Creation page. This is an actual human bone they found. Did I hit the wrong? Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, look at that. That's the thigh bone. This man right here, he's 6'2". And the fingers on the drawing, you know, to make it anatomically correct, you know, so they take the bone. It's a human bone. DNA was, you know, everything was checked. It's human, okay? And it's not deformed like somebody had that, you know, that giant disease, you know, where it causes you to be walking with two canes when you get too tall. and they only live to be like 45, 50 years old. No, this is a perfectly healthy looking bone they dug up. And if you put it all together, it was a 14 to 16 foot tall and his 20 to 22 inch long feet. All right, but again, this guy's 6'2", and the fingers are just touching the top of his head. Like when a hand hangs down, it kind of like bends. The fingers bend a little bit. They don't just go straight down like the robots do, you know. Those are trying to mimic humans. So, but yeah, that's one big man. And so later on, it's not going to be far-fetched to understand that there are going to be some giants in that crowd surrounding the city, and they're going to make some whopper weapons that would look very ominous and very scary. But we're going, you know, yeah, boring. We go back to what we're doing in the city. We really don't care. The only reason we're on the wall at the last day is to watch what our Father does with the fire comes above, from below and from above. And they all become ashes. And then the planet is recreated. And, oh man, we were just talking about this earlier. You know, me and Lee and Fran were talking about it, how before the flood of Noah, you know, you had the firmament up there and it was a curved wall of water of thin metal sheets. And they, Dr. Carball got a little confused on that with the, you know, thin metal sheets because he just couldn't figure it out because the word firmament came back to him. Well, here, let me look it up because we forgot to look up that word, firmament. I think that's how you spell it. Yep. Let there be a firmament. And so I'll go there and I'll go to the Strong's Concordance on it. Where be the verse? There it be. And it comes back as Rakia. Rakia. Oh, boy. I remember that from the video because there's these videos that Dr. Carl Baugh put out decades ago where his hair was pitch black. Now it's white. And I watched them so much. It was VCR tapes. I watched them so many times in a row that, you know what happens to VCR tapes when you watch them too much? Yeah. One of them, it's just, you could just hear audio. It's just like snow. Like at the end of the day on a TV in the 60s, you know, just, you know, like white noise. And it was just amazing how he was describing how he couldn't figure out why the word firmament was coming out, Rakia, because it meant thin metal sheets. And says, how can the planet be surrounded like thin metal sheets? And then some scientists revealed to him that, yeah, if you freeze H2O to a certain temperature and put it under pressure as it was at the top of our atmosphere, yeah, it's going to become like a lattice of hydrogen metal. It's called literally called hydrogen metal. And but it's not opaque. It's like a lattice where you can see through it, but it's curved. Ever drop a drop of water on a printed page and see what happens to the letters that are inside that bubble? They're swelled up, aren't they? Ah, yeah. Well, now you're on planet Earth 6,000 years ago, and you got that curved firmament up there that also keeps the temperature at the same globally, and it's a twice density in atmosphere where your blood cells are shaped like footballs instead of basketballs, which means you age much, much, much slower because, you know, like even your little wrinkles by your eyes wouldn't become wrinkles because those little capillaries wouldn't dry up because the blood can still flow. The older you get, the little basketball, the round blood cells can't get in there, and so that causes a wrinkle. So you wouldn't get old like that anymore. But you would look up, and you'd be like standing on a magnified, you'd be looking up through a magnification screen, and you could see the rings on Saturn without binoculars, let alone a telescope. You could see the spot, that big hurricane in Jupiter. And but yeah, it was pretty. And they did it in a scientific experiment where they showed that, like, if you freeze water like that, you will make hydrogen metal. He made a graphic and he drew it. I thought I put it on here. Maybe it's on this page. There's Noah's Ark literally sticking out of the side of a mountain right there. People are out there. I got more videos that I put on here recently. As a matter of fact, they keep saying these formations that are on the planet that look like a boat. No, there's hundreds of them all over the world. They keep saying that that's Noah's Ark. Nope. We got, you know, real proof now that it's not. Where is that picture? Well, I guess it's not on here. It must be somewhere else on the website. Because, this is a new. Oh, this is me. I watched this. Is this the same video? Oh, there you go. They keep pulling these videos. Okay, where was I? Yeah, I got to change the title. I got to put it the creation. Is that, I don't know, yeah. There's a video that I just watched recently that I just put on here. There's Dr. Carl Ball. And I fixed the link again. Maybe it's busted again. Nope, there you be. It's good. And this one here, it's only 2 minutes. That can't be. So they did something to it. But yeah, they keep changing and moving these videos. And I keep having to fix these links. But it's got to be up here. No. Destroying evolution in under 3 minutes. That was a shocker. And I think this was the one. There was one that was like 45 minutes or an hour. I just, I watched it on Sabbath. I saved these for Sabbath. You know, when I run across this stuff when I'm doing my weekly research, I stick them. This one, wow. The way he explains DNA. Oh, I hope it's still there because that one was a jaw dropper. Yep, good. It's still there. Anyway, let's get back. Where was I? Yeah, I think it's over here. Yeah, good. All right, so, again, when he created man, he placed him in an abode of peace and security. All was unity and happiness in the Garden of Eden. Those who are partakers of the divine nature will love peace and contentment. They will cultivate the virtues that ensure those results. And this is why the devil attacks us, and especially like if you're in pain or stressful or sick, sometimes your mood changes. And science has proven recently that it does cause issues in the brain where you will be, what's the word, frustrated or something like that. And we got to even be strong there. I know I need work there. And but we have to have this ability to cultivate the virtues that ensure those results of peace and contentment. The home should always be filled with peace at all times, because the days are coming when they're going to probably invade, like the no-knock warrants they do with the flashbang grenades that they throw in a house, and actually kill children when they do that, like infants. Like I read the stories in regards, they throw them in there and it blows up. It's like a big firecracker. It's a grenade, but it's just for sound. But if you're close enough to it, it can damage you. And if it's a baby, yeah, it'll kill it. And they do this at 4 o'clock in the morning because they figure everybody's sleeping. And it's a no-knock warrant. That shows you how wicked this country has become, the government. It used to be they would come during the day and give you a chance to surrender. But no, they come in with guns blazing and bombs blowing. And so that's today. And so when that happens, you got to be gentle and caring. That's another good reason not to have a gun in your house. Because look at how many times some dad, he's shocked away because this is happening. It just happened again last week where they hit the wrong house. And praise God, when the dad grabbed the shotgun because he thought he was, you know, a home invasion was happening, he grabs, and this is in a rich neighborhood too. He grabs the shotgun and he starts running towards the front room and he's stopped by their guns in the, and he just drops the weapon. But if he would have pointed it at them, they would have killed him. Because they've done that before. They've killed men that thought their home was being invaded. This is how much they care. They just don't. The love of many have waxed cold. It's all about making the buck, making the arrest. Because the, you know, prosecuting attorney, he needs his political career pumped up. That's what Kamala Harris was all about. So, going on, she says, they will seek to allay wrath, to quiet resentment. Let me reread. Let me go back a little bit. Those who are partakers of the divine nature will love peace and contentment. They will cultivate the virtues that ensure those results. They will seek to allay wrath to quiet resentment and fault finding and all the evil passions that foster quarrels and dissensions. Rather, the more men unite with the world and fall into its ways, the less they have of the true elements of peace in their hearts, and the more they are leavened with the bitterness of worldly strife, jealousy, and evil thoughts toward each other, which only needs certain circumstances to develop them into active agents for evil, you know, like when they fly off the handle. And how do you suppose Satan cultivates that kind of a mindset today? Grand Theft Auto and a bunch of other first shooter type video games. And the Hollywood movies, the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up. Or you know, the television series, like the police series and stuff, like Starsky and Hutch from the 70s or 80s to whatever they do today. I don't know. I haven't seen TV in decades, and so I don't know what kind of shows are out there now. Law and Order, I remember one of those. Law and Order was another one that they're not glorifying the crime. And like Dragnet back in the old days in the 60s, Dragnet literally said that these were true stories, but their names were changed to protect the innocent, right? And so they would show you the stories. Why do you want to see that stuff? It cultivates a mindset to where you want to be like that guy. You know, the villain. And that changes people's minds. And they know it. And this is why they do it. The same thing with the rock and roll, with the backward masking and the subliminal messaging in it to get kids to do things they shouldn't do. So, anyway, she goes on to say, those whose anger kindles at slight provocations, and those who watch the words and acts of others to secretly report them where they will stir up enmity are the direct opposite of the peacemakers who are called the children of God. We all need a lot of work. As a matter of fact, I was even thinking tomorrow for fellowship, reading Testimonies Volume 1, pages 25 to 28. But for some reason, it doesn't match up on the CD. The book I got upstairs as I'm reading before I hit the sack is different pages. It just doesn't matter. I'm going to probably have to bring the book down and pull out some quotes and figure out why it's doing it like that. Because it's like 2.5, maybe 3 pages. I'm thinking I'm going to share with fellowship tomorrow maybe. Because I think all of us would be convicted at some of the stuff she says there. We got a lot of work to do. We got to get ready, brothers and sisters. What happened recently in regards to the camp meeting here at the house where the Lord revealed something, it brought some of us, myself included, to tears. And we're not ready. I'm not ready. And I want to be ready. And I want my brothers and sisters to be ready, because I like hanging with y'all at the camp meetings. You guys are a blast. You know, it's just like a big old family again, because I'm one of 11 kids, and I haven't been around my siblings in decades because I left the Catholic Church. And but still, even that, I could be an only child. I love my brothers and sisters. I love hanging with you. And I want to hang with you for eternity. And so perhaps we should read this tomorrow for fellowship. Well, that only depends on how long testimony goes, because I'm thinking testimony is going to go pretty long tomorrow, because a lot of good stuff happened at the campground. So anyway, she goes on to say here that the true Christian will, in his intercourse with men, suppress words that would tend to produce unnecessary anger and strife. Are you having a problem with that? I used to count to 10. It really works. Just hold on. Sometimes you only got to count to 1 or 2 because you'll get used to walking with Christ like that. You know, you just, you know, bite your tongue kind of a thing. And it gets easier and easier and easier, you know, because quite often in the last year or so, many of my buttons have been pushed and I have just ignored it. You know, counting the 1 to 10 thing, you know, be it personally in front of me or online on a phone or on any, like in an email or even the comments on YouTube, bite your tongue. Just hold off. You know, speak slowly. And it does work. It makes it, because we got to get prepared. If we can't be saints down here, we aren't going to get wet in that rain. She says, all heaven is at peace. And those who are closely connected with Christ will be in harmony with heaven. And this is why Satan is garnering his troops by using those video games and the Hollywood movies and the rock and roll. He is not only seeking to get us to cave and accept the mark, you know, he's also trying to get us to cave and to go back into being all angry or whatever or hateful. So as to cause us to fall, so he gets one more victim back into his charred trophy case, because we used to be in that trophy case, all of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. But we have overcome by the grace of Christ, you know, and the power of the blood. We know now to choose. We know how to choose. She says, Jesus declared, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. And we know that. We, you know, while we're being attacked and ridiculed and slandered and persecuted, physically or spiritually, we still have perfect peace. Because we know it's going to keep going on for a couple of years, maybe four. And, but it'll be over soon. And before it's over, it's going to get intense, especially the last 15 days of Plague 6. But by then, with the latter rain, we know where we're at there. I mean, here's a good reminder in case, you know, you get to that point. Just remember, you don't have boils. Think about that. You're at the end of Plague 6. Plague 7 is about to hit. The Lord's about to split the eastern sky. You don't have boils. And you're alive. You are part of the 144. So she goes on, those who are in sympathy with the Savior will not be restless and dissatisfied. They will partake of the nature of Christ, and their lives will emulate His example. Let me see. I'm going to get to the next beatitude before I shut this down. Ooh, that's a bit much. But we've gone over time before. What better we? What else we got to do? It's Sabbath. All right, so the multitudes were amazed at this doctrine, so at variance with the precepts and examples of the scribes and Pharisees. The people had imbibed the idea from them that happiness consisted in the possession of the things of this world, and that fame and the honor of men were much to be coveted. It was very pleasing to be called rabbi and to be extolled as very wise and religious, having their virtues paraded before the public. This was considered the crown of happiness. But Jesus, in the presence of that vast throng, declared that earthly gain and honor was all the reward such persons would ever receive. You know, like the people that want that pat on the back when they get it, that's all they're getting. That's their heaven. That's what they want. She says, Jesus spoke with certainty, and a convincing power attended his words. The people were silenced, and a feeling of fear crept over them. They looked at each other doubtfully. Who of them would be saved if this man's teachings were true? And I still, those of us can think this way, because we aren't ready. Are we, like I've been saying for years, take that time once in a while. Like, go out for a midday prayer. And this time, just sit down or, you know, and just take stock in yourself. Where am I messing up, if at all? Which, odds are you are. But we need to get better at a lot of things. That reminds me, too. Fran saw a badger in our woods, going into the woods. So I think I got to be a little careful when I go out in the woods now. But I don't think badgers are bad. You know, I don't know. Skunks don't seem to bother me, so I don't know what a badger would do. But there are badgers in Indiana. We have one. We got weasels and minks and all sorts of weird things out here. Not weird, but different. It's not like in the city where I grew up. So she goes on, many were deeply convicted that this remarkable teacher was actuated by the Spirit of God and that the sentiments he uttered were divine. These lessons of instruction were particularly calculated to benefit the disciples whose lives would be governed by the principles therein taught. It was to be their work to impart the divine knowledge they derived from Jesus to the world. And that's our work today, to this day. There are examples. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been written. She says it was their task to spread the gospel far and wide among the people of all lands. And it was very important that all the lessons of Jesus should be plain to their minds, stamped upon their memories, and incorporated in their lives. Every truth was to be stored away in their minds and hearts for future use. And even if you think you're going to forget it, which you might, John 14:26 promised, still holds firm. Those things he's educated you on and taught you, he will bring those things to your remembrance, whatsoever he has said unto you. He doesn't just speak through Scripture or Sister White's writings. He speaks through nature, too. And he speaks through his experiences that he gives you. After Jesus had explained to the people what constituted true happiness and how it could be obtained, he more definitely pointed out the duty of his disciples as teachers chosen of God to lead others into the path of righteousness and eternal life. Hence the reason he didn't choose Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, or even the Sanhedrin, you know, the lawyers. He didn't choose any of those guys. They were all prideful. He went after fishermen. It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, look at the last days, too. Sister White even talks about how people are going to be coming out of nowhere, having declarations that and utterance that the theologians to this day, with all that alphabet soup after their names, can't even contemplate what we're saying. Our children know more. And yeah, I've said that many times, but our children truly do know more than these theologians. Because our children understand truth. All they do is they understand, you know, the do's and don'ts. They're like the Pharisees. They have what I like to call an 18-inch problem. They got it all in the head, nothing in the heart. Okay? And so many of us, myself included, can't keep it in the head. I can't memorize. But I keep it in the heart. Well, actually, he keeps it in the heart. I can't even keep it myself. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I don't know where I'd be. There's many a time that I have seen his hand move my tongue. So she says, he knew that they would often suffer from disappointment and discouragement, that they would meet with decided opposition, that they would be insulted and their testimony rejected. His penetrating eye looked down the coming years of their ministry and saw the sorrow and abuse that would attend their efforts to lead men to salvation. Because they're his example, or he's their example, rather. He's acquainted with grief. He's the man of sorrows. Because, yeah, he wanted to save everybody, obviously. He wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. He knows what we're going through. But he went through it first, so that we can go through it next. She finishes by saying, well, he knew that the humble man who listened so attentively to his words were to bear in the fulfillment of their mission calumny, torture, imprisonment, and death. And then she says, he continues, and we'll pick it up next week there, where it's, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think I'm going to highlight that. I have to redo it, though. Yep. So we'll pick it up there next week. And I hope, and I do pray, that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath Eve.